Hello, Ed.
How have you been? Good.
Good. We were just here. We had the NCAA Men's Basketball Committee here 10 days ago, and we had a chance to tour the UNLV Raider Stadium and T-Mobile. I don't think I'm going on a limb that probably in the next 3 to 5 years there will be NCAA basketball in town. It's going to be great.
Be awesome.
Yeah.
That you've been on the selection committee at different times during your career. Is it a no-brainer in your mind, especially given how few of these kind of structures are west of the Mississippi, that they could get a Final Four here eventually?
Oh, yes, yeah. I think the biggest challenge, Ed, again, not putting a cart ahead of the horse, would be the translucent roof and what they do to cover the stadium, because that's an issue in Los Angeles as well. Facility-wise, phenomenal.
Okay.
If you remember Minneapolis, they spent almost $5 million to put blackout curtains over those windows.
Yes.
And so it depends on the roof. You know,
on how much sunlight, what it would look like for sight lines and all
correct.
That.
Because if, presuming, well, for the next 20-some years, CBS and Warner are going to have probably the same timeline, so it's going to be a late afternoon game, so it will be light. But anyway, those are down the road. But, yeah, there will be NCAA events. T-Mobile's a great facility. I mean, you look at the airport. It's closer than it looks as you get an Uber or cab out of there.
To T-Mobile?
But it's right there. And 140-some thousand hotel rooms within 2 miles, 3 miles of the facility. Perfect.
When you look at the new stadium that's coming up, do you ever think about, like, what could you do football-wise there? I mean, basketball is one thing, but what about, like even holding, like, a Labor Day tournament or, like, a kickoff classic, like something earlier in the year where you kind of have that Labor Day weekend all to yourself, and that stadium could provide, like, I don't know, maybe like a showcase for Mountain West teams for football?
Absolutely. And so I've had the pleasure to get to know Mark Bedane and Brandon Dahl is around here, I think, at these media days. They didn't build that for, 8 to 10 Raiders games and 6 UNLV games.
They better get more than that in there.
Absolutely. there will be, well, obviously the Las Vegas Bowl is moving there. And, our championship, the Mountain West Championship, I can't speak for the Pac-12, but those types of made-for-events, you know, a neutral facility and a great city, a destination city, I think that's all very possible.
I know you were talking about this in your state of the conference in there. There's big deals here with this league in terms of the future, and everyone begins and ends most conversations with your TV deal. I know you can't talk specifics, but you did say, I believe, Mark Anderson tweeted, that when you do re-up, it could be two-part question for lesser time than maybe others have, maybe to give you a broader look at the landscape quicker than others. But obviously, I want to ask you, not specific to the Mountain West, because you probably won't answer, the idea of a conference in America 2019 at least thinking about going streaming. Mm-hmm. I think that's it's a fascinating thing to me. I was telling Clay, I was in London with the Raiders when I watched UNLV Utah State on Facebook. And it was fine. I saw what I needed to see. You can talk about whatever the announcers are, but you saw what you needed to see the football game. As a conference commissioner, and if it's not about the Mountain West, can you just speak to what would be the advantage? Why would a league take that leap in 2019 to just say, you know what, we're going all streaming, this is the future?
I don't know that we can get there in this iteration, but you asked the right question. Maybe in the next, and that's why we want to go shorter.
We
might be the first. We've been pioneers. We talked about the Mountain and that network years ago in the first. But, you make the point of what's the difference of saying it's too convenient to not go to the game, I'm staying home. And then you've lost a whole nother level.
Okay.
But if you could do both, then you can sit in a stadium and watch and follow and listen visually as well as being at the game.
Right.
It's the best of both worlds. And, you know, we talk about all the time, you know, people saying, it's on TV. Why bother? That's 6 hours to get in my car and drive and watch the game and get home and all that traffic and food's free at home and the views at home. But we're getting to a world that I have a 21-year-old who graduates from college in December. She could care less about cable or satellite. She just wants my Netflix account number.
Yeah, she just wants a tablet and Netflix.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then they've got everything they need. So I think we're going to get closer to that day. So another point you made that's very succinct is when you look at 110 million people on network television versus billions worldwide, you watching a game in London, what are you thinking here? That's needs to be explored.
Can it be financially advantageous to you?
It could. You know, we talked about it. I threw that acronym out a couple of years ago, FANG, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, and Google. Now, they have bought some sport properties, but they're not in their mainstream full-time. They're not
right.
paying $250 million in rights fees annually.
Right.
So, you know, that's going to be a component and a factor of this. There will always be live TV to a degree, but it's that's the reason we're going shorter.
That you want to go shorter.
Want to go shorter.
Just to explore it more. It doesn't seem like it, but it seems like you're embracing this and the, I guess, I don't know, nervousness of the trepidation of doing this doesn't seem to bother you.
It really doesn't, because we had games, and I'm not going to disparage anybody, but the ratings, if there's 100,000 people watching a game, that's 100,000 people watching a game, but that's not, you know, potentially 1.4 million that tune in for 32 seconds or three plays or, you know, the super deal. And that's what people want anymore. You know, they're it's hard to capture somebody for 3.5 hours in stadium or out.
Yeah, especially out.
Well, and in addition to that, to even get their interest to know that you can watch this game at noon Eastern time. How important is that for you to regain control of your schedule in order to maybe have a little bit of control of, like, when these games go on and not have to take the obligatory late stuff on Saturday night?
Well, that's a great point. And so we were just at an event, and a lot of the people nationally, one was from the East Coast, and they said, well, I like to watch you because I put my pajamas on. I've had a full day, and then I nod off by about halftime. And go, well, that's just exactly what I wanted to hear, you know, just the endorsement. Can we use you in a commercial someplace? But it is the truth. And so back to the thing, we have made a concerted effort, particularly in men's basketball, to schedule people in the Eastern time zone and to play more people because, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock, it's great. But if America's turning off and shutting it down, you've lost the whole component. I mean, and that's not new. It's been that way for decades and decades. But, you know, TV tells us the yin and the yang is the later you play, the more value you bring to us. Well, I don't know how much later we can play than 8:30, 9 o'clock tips and starts.
You mean 8:30 locally in the East, 11:30? I don't know.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
exactly
late. I don't think it was a huge shock when the Las Vegas Bowl with the new stadium went to a new format, and you knew it was coming. So bring us up to date now on your new charge to add a game and to get that game back after this year somewhere else in the country.
Well, we're going to have an announcement tomorrow, and I think it's kind of a well-kept or a poorly kept secret, I should say. You know, we're talking with Los Angeles. Starting a new game with the Rams
in their stadium.
And so, you know, that I've just told you, so
you don't have to come back tomorrow if you don't want
to.
We've had this and Kenyon Oblad being the backup quarterback this year. We're breaking news left and right on this show.
Breaking news.
Well, what's it? I assume will you try to stay with the Pac-12?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you like that matchup regionally.
Yeah, and so, you know, it's new, it's fresh. We've loved Las Vegas. So we've had 19 bowl games here. We vacated once. BYU played Utah a couple years back,
right,
and we took an armed forces slot. So we have played 19 bowl games. We have played 17 men's and women's basketball championships here. I mean, we love Las Vegas. But, you know, it's part of 2019. It's new, it's fresh, it's different. We're not going away. We extended the basketball championship here,
right,
so we're going to stay
staying
in Las Vegas. We will play UNLV six times in the stadium,
right,
four conference games. So it's not like we're vacating Las Vegas. Great market for us. But it'll be new, it'll be exciting, it'll be fresh, you know.
Well, I know this is football media day, but what is your message? Finally, in talking to Craig Thompson, Commissioner of the Mountain West, what is your message, and I assume it is play better people and beat them, to your basketball coaches, to where you can get back now? And you've been on this committee, you're in the room, you understand what the perception is of that league comparative to when you're putting five teams in that tournament. What is the charge that you have to give your coaches to get back to that state?
You just said it all. You know, I was chair in 2000, a long time ago, decades ago. Nothing has changed. Play good people and win some games.
And beat them.
and beat them. Yeah, win them. So, you know, I it's easier said than done, but
sure.
Now with the MTEs, those multi-tournament events, you're able to play some people. What's better than playing a good quality opponent on a neutral court?
But
nothing.
No, nothing.
Okay?
Not in that
unless
room.
You're playing at home, and we're not going to get those home games
right.
Very often. UNLV gets some home games, San Diego State on occasion. So, you know, that's the same message. You can't run and hide on that deal. I mean, everything's out there. Every statistic, wart, finding, result. You know, you're just not able to do anything to run and hide and
no.
Bluff your way in.
You can't bluff your way in that
tournament. Facts speak to it. So, we talk about scheduling an inordinate amount of time, but, you know, we maybe have turned the corner a little bit, and, you know, we're able to get back into that multi-bid run.
Commissioner Craig Thompson with us from the Mountain West. Just one final question. What were your thoughts on UConn giving up on football, and could you ever foresee something like this happening in the Mountain West?
No, I couldn't believe it. You know, frankly, probably 60 to 70% of all college revenue, and then some, maybe more, is derived from college football. And so just literally give up on it. That's their market. They've won national championships. It's a basketball community. But, as I stated, we have seven schools that have been playing college football for over 100 years. Football's going nowhere. That didn't sound right. We're not vacating football
right.
In any form or fashion.
Right.
Okay.
Commissioner, we appreciate it. It's a busy day for you.
Thanks,
Thank you
guys.
Very much.
All right.
Commissioner Craig Thompson
Thank
here.
You.